We are finishing up our theme on the church advantage, how the church is an advantage for God, church is an advantage for us, church advantage for really everyone. And in the end of this theme, we are in our last series, and this series is on wisdom. We're talking about wisdom from the book of wisdom, which is a book of Proverbs written thousands of years ago. And that we have God's wisdom. That is a huge advantage to have God's wisdom. And so in the midst of it being tax season, we've called this series W6, since a lot of us are dealing with a lot of W's right now, W2's, and I think there's W4's, and W-others, and W-this, and that's, and so we are doing W6. We've talked about wisdom, we've talked about work, we've talked about wealth, we've talked about words. Today we're talking about women, and then next week we're going to have an intermission, a little bit of a break, because we have Jay Henry coming here to be with us next Sunday. So that's going to be exciting. We've got him in here for the service, and we've got a joint Sunday school where he's going to be sharing, and then he'll also be sharing that evening with our teens at the Pursuit. So that's next Sunday with Jay Henry. And then the following Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, we will be talking about the wicked and the righteous, finishing up the series there right before Easter. So today we're talking about women wisdom. And so we're going to start very generic, because this is a topic where it can be very segregated by nature. It's about women. And so half of our group here might want to check out, and I don't want you to do that. There's going to be some parts in here for men also. And that's because things like this first section, which is talking about our mothers. Every one of us have a mother. And so this is a very general topic on women. Talking about mothers, in Proverbs 23:22, the second half of that verse says, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." You know, we know this, but we need to remember this. Let's write this down. Show your aged mother appreciation. Once again, we know this. We know this is wisdom, but we need to be reminded of it. We need to be reminded to do that. Those of us whose mothers are still here on earth, let me encourage you today to call your mother. Tell her you appreciate her. I want to task you with that. Because it's easy to forget to thank your mother, especially when you're on with your own life and you're dealing with your own children or even your own grandchildren. And your mother has become a great grandmother. But call her today and thank her. Thank her for what she did for you, how she raised you, the wisdom she gave you. We need to show our aged mothers appreciation. Just a few more verses down from that, in verse 25, it talks about how we are to make our parents proud, our mothers and fathers. Since we're focusing on women, let's go on and write this down, that we need to live a life that makes your mother proud of your choices. And there's a lot of accountability there. You know, you can think about that. You know, we had the "What Would Jesus Do?" Thing that was around years ago, and that was popular, and it became overly popular to where it became kind of cliche, but really the basis of that was good. It made a lot of sense. What would Jesus do? That's a great question to ask ourselves. Another great question to ask yourself before you make a decision: would this decision make my mother proud? That will narrow your decisions considerably. And will help you to make the wise decisions. Would this make my mother proud? The next section talks about what Aretha Franklin sung about in the late 60s. And how I know how to spell that. So let's go and write this down. R-E-S-P-C-T. Respect. Respect. You know, we've all heard that respect is earned. You gain respect. And you can lose respect. Proverbs 11 shares how women can gain and lose respect. So let's take a look at that. This is for all women. Proverbs 11:16, the first half of that verse says, "A kind-hearted woman gains what? Respect." Kind-hearted woman. Go and write that down. Women gain respect by being kind-hearted. Women gain respect by being kind-hearted. Women are naturally the nurturers. They're naturally more caring, more tender. That's how you gain respect, women. That's from the book of wisdom. That's from the book of Proverbs. Remember that. Use that. Earn respect by being tenderhearted, by being kind, by being caring. Down in verse 22 of chapter 11, it talks about how women lose respect. Kind of a humorous verse here. It says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. And that's pretty offensive. You know, you know, you're like a gold ring in a pig's snout if you're a beautiful woman who uses no discretion. And for us, that's offensive to hear that now. But if we can think about it being heard from a Jewish standpoint, it's even more offensive. Pigs were unclean to the Jews. That means that they could not use them, they could not eat them, they couldn't touch their dead carcasses. So to the Jew, a Jew would not enjoy ham or bacon or pulled pork sandwiches or pork tenderloins or pork chops or barbecued ribs or pickled pig's feet or pig's ears. They would enjoy no part of the pig. The pig was useless and it was unclean. What good would it do to adorn something that is unclean and useless? That's exactly what this verse is talking about. It would do no good to put a gold ring in a pig's snout. So this principle applies to women who show no discretion. They show no discretion. It doesn't matter if they're beautiful or not. If they're beautiful, then that's just an ornament on something that isn't beneficial to have around. Women lose respect by lacking discretion. Women lose respect by lacking discretion. So the choice is yours. I have to be careful here, but it's biblical. Kind-hearted or a pig with a nose ring? And that's the wisdom that chapter 11 gives on the subject of R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect. Now, to narrow the scope a little, Proverbs has a lot to say about wives. In fact, it would have been easy to make this W, wives, instead of just wisdom, because there is a lot in Proverbs directly towards wives. I wanted to make it as general as I could so that we could all get something from it. The wisdom that Proverbs gives to wives is useful wisdom for all women. It can be used and applied outside, you know, for a mom, a single mom. But it's what wisdom that Solomon gives to wives. Many of us have heard the expression, behind every great man is a great. Yes, you guys don't mind saying that at all, do you? There's a lot of truth in that. That statement rings true, and it stuck with us because there is a lot of truth in that. Behind every great man, there is a great woman. There, as a wife, you can strengthen or weaken your husband. There is truth in that. That is a fact. You can strengthen or weaken your husband. Wives have the power to give great strength to their husbands. And when you have the potential for great good, you also have the potential for great bad. Wives also have the power to cause great misery to their husbands. Let's look at the negative first, because I don't like negative things. So I want to flip-flop this verse, because this verse actually states the positive first. Negative second. The verse that we're going to be kind of using to frame this next section in our message here is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, and it says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. That's the positive side. We're going to look at that in a moment. But the negative side is that a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. That's strong. It's kind of gross, really. Decay, I mean, and you think about your bones. I mean, your bones, that's kind of some of the innermost part of your body, but it's the strength, it's your structure, it's what holds you up and holds you together. And if you just had muscle and skin, you still wouldn't be able to stand straight up. You'd just be this kind of lump of muscle, and you might be able to move around like a snake, but you wouldn't be able to stand like this. We have bones, and they hold us up, and they hold us straight. So ways that women can weaken their husband, ways that wives can weaken their husband. And based off of this verse that a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones, it's going to write this down because I think this is a way of understanding this, that women are osteoporosis to their husband if they are disgraceful. That's what osteoporosis is. It's a disease that keeps the bones from regenerating. And they get weak, they become brittle, they become fragile, and they fracture easily. This is what Solomon is telling us that wives have the ability to do to their husbands if they are disgraceful. They weaken their husband. You know, sometimes someone with osteoporosis can sneeze and break a rib. Healthy bones aren't at risk of a sneeze. But someone with osteoporosis can be. So the husband of a disgraceful wife will have a more difficult time handling the pressures of life without cracking. Because he doesn't have that support. He doesn't have that. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He's got a wife that's tearing him down from the inside, losing that support. Osteoporosis. So what are disgraceful actions? I mean, these can come from public behavior. We've seen this before when we've looked at other people and we see their wife and we're thinking, you know, do they realize what that's doing to their family or their husband, that behavior, what that tells or what that shows? You know, disgraceful actions can come from not using discretion in your personal relationships. It can come from making choices that make you look like a pig with a gold ring in its snout. And that reflects on the marriage. That reflects on the husband. And it can weaken your husband. Osteoporosis. It weakens him from the inside. These disgraceful actions can happen internally, inside the marriage, through dishonoring or disrespecting your husband. Some wives behind closed doors like to use guilt and shame as a motivator for their husbands. Osteoporosis. Sometimes they use discouraging words constantly. Osteoporosis. My wife and I, Jesse and I, we had a couple in college that we were close with. And they were made for each other. They were a great couple. They worked well together. They were fun. We did lots of stuff with them. And things looked good on the surface. And until we started to get to know them and started to see some of the things that happened. And behind closed doors, he couldn't do anything right. She would give him to-do lists and then nag him for not doing it or nag him for doing it wrong. And she was a name caller. And she finally started going to counseling and she realized what she sounded like. She didn't realize that she had become her mother. And, you know, that's patterns that can happen, how you were raised. And she started realizing in counseling that she was doing the same thing to her husband that she had seen her mom do to her dad. And she didn't like it when she saw her mom do it to her dad, but she didn't see it when she was doing it to her husband. And so she stopped the name calling, she stopped the nagging, but it was too late. It was too little, too late. The marriage ended in divorce. And she has recovered well. And it took him a long time to recover, but both of them have recovered well. Both of them are in different marriages now. But none of that had to happen. None of that needed to happen. And that shows how disgraceful actions behind closed doors can cause osteoporosis in a husband. He cracked. He couldn't stand up underneath it any longer. You know, one of the things that she did was nagging. And nagging is one of these ways that you can weaken your husband. I want to read a couple of Proverbs. This is a I'm going to read some Proverbs. You guys are going to recognize these. I'm going to read three Proverbs, and then we're going to put them all together in one big sentence so that we can kind of get a scope of this. So Proverbs 21:9 says, "Better to live on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife." Okay, guys, I kind of expected some amens there. There's a lot of truth in that. A few verses later, it says, "Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife." Proverbs 27:15 says, "A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day." It's like Chinese water torture. So let's go on. What I want to do is just kind of combine all these together in one big sentence to kind of get the grasp of all of this. So it's better to live on the corner of the roof or in the desert than in the house with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife, because she is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Who wants to be that wife? Who wants to do that? You know, when we see it on paper, or when we see it on the screen, when we hear it read from the scriptures, none of us are thinking, this is the wife I want to be. But it happens, doesn't it? We see it all around us. We see, or we hear, or maybe even you hear it yourself when you get a chance to be a little bit outside of your body and just listen to what you're saying. I don't think women purposefully set out to be this kind of wife. I don't think any negative behavior happens because someone sets out to become that person. But negative behavior comes from negative patterns, and that comes from negative choices. And that's where it starts. It can happen that you turn into this kind of wife. But it won't happen if you make deliberate choices not to be like that. And that's all it is. It's just choices. Not to nag, not to have a tone of nagging. Listen to your words. Listen to your tone. Think of what your actions outside the house does for your husband's metaphorical bones. Think about your actions inside the house. So that's the negative side, osteoporosis. Let's look at the positive side. Let's look at that verse again. Proverbs 12:4. Such a great verse. The wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. So a husband's crown. Let's go and write that down. Women are a crown to their husband if they are of noble character. A crown. I mean, think about what a crown does for somebody. When someone has a crown, immediately people look at them and they think, this is a person that's got it together. This is a person of importance. This is a person of value. This is someone to be noted. They are notable. They're wearing a crown. It brings honor to the person wearing it. That's what you can do, wives. That's the power you have to make your husband look like a king to all of those around him. So what does the wife of noble character look like? So we're going to go to Proverbs 31. I'm sure there were women out there who were thinking when they saw this 5 weeks ago, and they said, you know what, he's going to be talking about women and we're in Proverbs. I sure hope he doesn't go to Proverbs 31. Women hate that passage because this woman is perfect. And there's no way to keep up with this woman in Proverbs 31. So why even bring her up? Because we can't live up to this lady. And what I want to do today, my goal in this little section here is to make it realistic, to simplify it so that we can look at Proverbs 31 and really break it down, because you can see big things, and sometimes that can be intimidating, but sometimes when you break it down into little steps, little pieces, it's a little more obtainable. It's a little more realistic. So let's look at Proverbs 31 through just a simple lens. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, it says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value." So that first one, that her husband has full confidence. She's trustworthy. That's obtainable. You can be trustworthy. You can show that you are trusting, that we are able to put our trust in you, that your husband's able to trust you. She's trustworthy. Verse 12 says, she brings good, not harm, all the days of her life. I like how the Proverbs writer thinks, you know, I think I need to make sure that they understand what good is. It's not harm. She brings good to him, not harm. Okay, just in case you were thinking of a different kind of good. I'm talking about the kind of good that doesn't bring harm. And so she brings good to him, not harm, all the days of her life. So go on and write that down. She brings good to her husband. And in your notes, you might want to scratch out the his and write her. I wasn't thinking about that in detail. So she brings good to him. She brings good to her husband her whole life. Because if she goes first, she really can't bring good to him his whole life. So she can bring good to him her whole life. And so that's how the Proverbs reads. The next 10 verses, they go on and on about what she does for the family. And this is really the section I think a lot of women read and find this very intimidating. I mean, she gets food and she prepares it for her family. And she gets up before everyone in the house. And she's hard at work by the light of the lamp into the night. And she handles personal business deals for her family. She plants a vineyard, for heaven's sake. She sews. She works vigorously. And many women read that list and they just hang it up there. And they say, you know what? I can't even do this. This is not obtainable. This woman is Superwoman. She's Wonder Woman, whatever you want to call her. I can't touch her. I can't even go near that. But let's step back and look at the simplicity of these verses. Really, this section of 10 verses from verse 13 to 24, really all that is saying is that she does all that she can to support her family. What good wife doesn't do that? Many of you women in here, you do all you can to support your family. You do what you can. Keep that up. Know that that is in the spirit of the Proverbs 31 woman. The list there for her is her list. What's your list? What are the things you do? Because that's all you can be accountable for, is what God has gifted you at, what God has given you the ability to do. What do you do? Because if you do all you can to support your family, that's all you can do. It always used to drive me nuts in sports events where coaches would say, you need to give 110%. Mathematically, I can't. I can only give 100%. So women, give 100%. And if you are, be proud of that. And know that you're doing all you can to support your family, and that you are in the spirit of the Proverbs 31 woman. Inside that section, verse 20, it says that she is generous. So go on and write that down. She is generous. The act of generosity reveals a kind, caring heart. We've already talked about the kind-hearted behavior of how a woman gains respect through being kind-hearted. The act of generosity is an external exhibition of an internal quality. And it's that quality of being kind-hearted, that quality of being compassionate, of caring. And that's shown through generous activity. So not only does she have a kind and caring heart shown through generosity, but she is also strong and dignified. That's found in the first half of verse 25. And so let's go and read that, because that whole verse has that one and it has our next one. So let's go on and go to that. Proverbs 25 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Why can she laugh at the days to come? Because she's prepared for the future. She's confident. She's prepared for what's coming. So let's go and write that down. She is prepared for the future. She plans ahead. You can do this, ladies. This is obtainable. That's my goal in Proverbs 31 today, is to let you know this is something you can do. This is something you can achieve. You can be a Proverbs 31 woman. She's prepared for the future. She speaks wisdom and instruction. I don't think that had a blank. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction on her tongue. There we go. I forgot we had a verse to go with that one. I picked certain verses to share. So she speaks with wisdom and instruction. She speaks wisdom and instruction. Then verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that's just the capstone of this woman in chapter 31. She fears the Lord. That is the punctuation at the end of this sentence. She fears the Lord. So we talked about mothers. We all have a mother. Talked about how women gain respect, how they can lose respect. Talked specifically about wives and about how they can bring a crown to their husband or they can bring osteoporosis to their husband. And the Proverbs 31 woman is about this noble-charactered woman who can bring a crown to her husband. So since we've talked a little bit about wives, it's fair to talk about husbands because there are some things in Proverbs 31 that talks about husbands in regards to wisdom about women. So husbands, let me address you for our final section here. The first one, I really shouldn't have to say this, but I'm saying it because it's in Proverbs. And maybe someone today needs to be reminded to stay faithful to your wife. I'm just going to write that down. Stay faithful to your wife. There's a large section there in chapter 5. The specific verse is verse 20 that says, "Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife?" So stay faithful to your wife. Proverbs 19:14 says, "Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Prudent means wise, it means practical, it means sensible. I thought that was a fun synonym, so let's use that for our notes. Let's write that down. If God has given you a sensible wife, so if your wife is sensible, consider her a gift from God. If your wife is sensible, now if she's not, then I'm not going there. But I think that's kind of funny. I mean, that's one of the synonyms you can use, sensible and wise, prudent, you know, practical, whatever word you want to use there. But the idea, you know, a little bit of humor to gain your attention, but let's kind of dig into the depths of that now. If God has given you a wise wife, if God has given you a prudent wife, a sensible wife, a practical wife, then husbands, we should be thanking God for our wives. Amen? And you need to be reminded of that today as we're on this subject and talking about this. It's so easy to take a good wife for granted. If we're thanking God on a regular basis in our prayers for our wives, then we're going to be more prone to realize the good that they are, the good things they do. I want to challenge you, husbands, to pray twice a day. Pick two regular times that you can pray. Maybe it's when you wake up and when you go to bed. Maybe it's when you're driving to work and you're driving home from work. And I want you to have a specific time of prayer. And it doesn't have to be anything big. I mean, guys, we don't use a lot of words through the day. Most guys don't. So it doesn't need to be a 30-minute prayer, but just a simple couple sentences specifically thanking God for something about your wife, something specific about your wife, something she said to you that day, something she did for you that day, some quality that she has that God gave her, and find something specific. And the first week of doing this, it might come easy to you. But then after doing this a while, to find a different thing twice a day is going to be a little bit of a challenge, and what it's going to do is it's going to cause you to be more observant. Can I get an amen from the wives? Because as you're thanking God and you're bringing this up and you get into this pattern, then you start to look for things. You're like, well, I've already thanked God for this. I've already thanked God for this. I've already thanked God for this. I've already thanked God for, okay, what else can I thank God about for my wife? What other qualities does she have? What are the things that she does? And you're going to start to notice more and more things that she does. This is great because this is biblical wisdom, because we should thank God for our wives. If God has given us a prudent wife, a sensible wife, a wife of noble character. But in doing this, not only are we thanking God for our wife, but we're starting to get to where we stop overlooking the things that we have overlooked for years and years and years. And maybe this is a time of refreshing for some of your marriages. So develop this pattern. So guys, you've got two tasks. You got to call your mother today and start a pattern of prayer thanking God for the specific things that your wife has done for you. And the last note comes from Proverbs 31. Before we take that, let's go and go back to Proverbs 31 and let's read where this note comes from. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also. And this is in the section where, you know, all these great things that this Proverbs 31 woman does that we've already taken notes on. Then there's this little section here that says that the children will arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. While that's up on the screen, guys, I want you to say that with me. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Let's do that again because we're going to need that in a few minutes. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Guys, that is golden, and I'm going to show you why in a minute. Finish reading this. We've already read verse 30 earlier in the message, but it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be what? Praised. That's the second time it's talked about praising your wife in this section. And then finally, verse 31, give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her what? Praise where? At the city, public praise. Praise in front of your children. Praise at the city gate. Praise your wife. It's biblical. Do it. Praise your wife of noble character and inspire your children to do so also. They're going to follow your lead. And if you're praising your wife, your children are going to rise and bless her. If you're not, chances are your children won't. Praise your wife. Thank God for your wife between you and God, but then publicly praise her between you and her. Watch what happens when you positively reinforce her efforts to be this Proverbs 31 wife. When she notices that you're noticing, watch what happens. When she shows you how much you can trust her, praise her. And praise her by saying, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. She will be even more trustworthy. When she's good to you, praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And see how good she is the next time. When she works hard, vigorously to support the family, praise her. Praise her for the meal she cooked. When you're eating the meal, just stop and say, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. I'm telling you guys, this is a golden phrase. You need to learn it, memorize it, and use it. And then see how great the next meal is after you use that phrase. Praise her for being a great mother. Many women do noble things. Say it with me. But you surpass them all. And then see how great of a mom she becomes tomorrow because of your praise. When she plants a vineyard, many women do noble things, but you surpass it. You know, whatever it is, I'm just drawing from Proverbs 31. But watch, be aware, be perceptive, be notice these things and praise her for them. Lift her up for them. Many women do noble things. You know, ironically, I learned the King James version of this because it came from a revival years and years and years and years ago I went to. And he had a message on marriage. And he brought up this verse. And it was, many women have done virtuously, but you excel them all. And I used that on my wife. For years and years and years and years, just every once in a while, just pop in with something when she would do something. And I stopped using it. I got out of the habit of using it. And then in a heart-to-heart, years ago, in tears, she asked me, do you not think that I'm a good wife anymore? I said, well, yeah, I do. And she said, you used to say this to me all the time, and now you don't. And it wasn't that I changed my view. I stopped saying it. And I had no clue the power of that statement and what it meant for her to hear that from me. And so I've started to bring it back in. So guys, I want to encourage you. Use that verse. Memorize it. When she is generous and you catch her doing something great for someone else, what are you going to say? Good job. When she saves your house from disaster because she has planned and prepared for the future, praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And see how far into the future she plans next time. When she speaks wisdom and instruction, praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And see what kind of wisdom comes out of her mouth next time when she fears the Lord. When you catch her reading her Bible, when you hear her heartfelt prayer for your children, praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And watch as her relationship with God grows deeper. Praise her. It's biblical. Women wisdom, call your mom today. Let her know that you appreciate her. Women, if you want RESPCT, you know how to gain it. You know how to lose it. Wives, are you going to be a crown to your husband or osteoporosis? Choice is yours. And husbands, use that verse. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Women, wisdom.